Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Inside Battlefield. I'm your host Tom, and today I'm joined by members of the development team to talk about our favorite things for Season 7 Turning Point. So before we start, a quick overview of what's happening with Season 7. It launches on March 19, and there's a whole load of new content to look forward to, such as two new maps, three weapons, a new gadget, vehicle, a new battle pass, and of course many quality of life changes and improvements. If you want a complete overview of what's new, be sure to check out the Season 7 patch notes on battlefield.com, which are already available. As for the discussion itself, Manuel, I'd love to start with you. How did we get to Season 7? Tell us the story.
All right. So, yes, it's good to be back. I'm Manuel, creative director on Season 7. And going back with the memory, I think we started last summer to talk about Season 7. And it will be slightly personal, but there are reasons for it. So Season 7 is set in large part, or at least the map is set in South America, set in Chile. The inception of the season was roughly a year after I lost my dad, who was South American. And I thought, we need all the help we can get. So now that you are settled up in the sky somewhere, if we set a map in South America, maybe not in Paraguay, but nearby, give us a hand, you know, talk to the big guy, make it a success, help us with the bugs, because you use every trick in the book. And so that's actually the tiny personal origin. But the other important bit for me was that someone that started with Bad Company 1 in the studio, going back to the Arica region, going back to destruction, trying to do it in the as specific way as we can, creating a world that is specific yet universal, because it's definitely, especially the map, is a map about people that live there and the consequences of war and destruction. It was just a number of interesting topics. And then with that, giving it to Joseph and Martin and the rest of the team that is here in the room today, in part, just felt very natural and very exciting.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Manuel. Sounds like very personal way to get a new season going. Hope, it's launching soon, so I think it's a special moment. So shout out to your dad as well.
Thank you.
Joseph, we've never had an art director on either here, so let's talk a little bit about maybe the art.
Sure. I mean, so a lot of the influences, of course, came from our early discussions around South America, and the team was super excited and engaged, and we got a chance to research South America, find cool influences from there, and from that sprung the cassava map. And me and Manuel, of course,
Haven, by the way, sorry. Sometimes you might revert to our development names, because we've been building this concept for quite a while, but cassava is Haven.
There is a reason for it, because the cassava, tapioca, manioca, it's got so many names. It's like, it's an incredible vegetable that is very used in South America. So figure that.
Yeah. I'll try to steer away from the development names. Sorry, guys. It's just anybody who heard that, just forget about that. It was a lot of collaboration early on. And of course, the higher leadership team, you know, we get together and we brainstorm around these things, and we try to figure out cool ideas that can really feel exciting for the players. And I think one of the things that was really important from Season 6 to Season 7 was getting a feeling of contrast between the seasons, right? So you can see, and I think everybody will feel this and experience this, is that Season 7 is quite different from Season 6. Season 6, you know, we really went for that dark and moody vibe. We had all kinds of scary things in that map and in our cosmetics. And so Season 7, we wanted to do something that felt really different. And I think the team, they really got together and achieved this. So I hope that everybody really feels that when they're playing it and when they see the trailer and they see the content and the cosmetics and all this stuff. There's lots more to say about the art side of this. I think we can maybe circle back to it. Should I maybe hand over to somebody else who can speak about their experience?
We'll circle back to that, because there's we could probably fill an entire podcast episode with just like art and art direction.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I would love to hear someone else's favorite things for this season. So maybe Jack, let's kick it over to you.
Yeah, sure. So I work with gameplay design and was involved in season 7. And I wasn't working specifically with the level design of Haven, but listening to Manuel and then listening to Joseph and thinking about going back within the franchise history, I think there's something about this map that also goes back to a way of designing maps. And I think, I don't remember the name of all the level designers that worked on it, but there's a certain flow to Haven that feels classic. And the gameplay, I think it's one of our best flowing maps, actually. So I'm super excited to play it with all of you. So I just wanted to like throw that in there.
Yeah. Anyone else want to jump in?
Yeah. Hey, I'm Kasim. I'm a development manager here at DICE, working with the core gameplay team. Yeah, I was basically part of the development of the weapons and the vehicle for this season. But the thing I'm most excited about for players to get their hands on is probably the new Draugr vehicle. It's a really cool vehicle, and I think everyone in here, probably couple people in here, Rachel, Eddie, has been part of like getting it to a really good place where it feels unique but still feel like belongs within Battlefield. I know you Rachel and Eddie had like, you brought up really good ideas on how we should implement this vehicle and what cool things to add about it. But yeah, that's probably my favorite thing at the moment.
Let's kick it over to Rachel and Eddie then, and just quick intro about who you are, Rachel and Eddie, and then, you know, let's talk Draugr.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm Rachel. I do VFX on Battlefields, specifically core gameplay, so it's like weapons, vehicles, some shader stuff as well, and a lot of things that fall in between a lot of areas. So
like the bombs from the Draugr, or?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you've seen the trailer, you already seen, I think, two of the different ammunitions that they can fire off, if you really go through it very carefully. Yeah, that was very cool to work on the different bomb types. Like, the interesting thing about the Draugr drone is that we wanted it to be having its unique signature in the game, so you couldn't confuse it for the stealth helicopter, you couldn't confuse it for like the F-35 for the other jet, and so basically it's gotten a lot of ammunition that is focused specifically around infantry and like very specific support strikes, but Eddie can probably explain more about this the gameplay side of things, and so visually we really wanted to communicate that these attacks were very different from any other attack. So there's an EMP strike that can shut down vehicles, and it will create a very like big electrical shockwave whenever it impacts the surface.
Which I think we've seen in the trailer, right? That's at the end. Which
that one is visible in the trailer. Yeah,
pretty damn dope, if I have to say myself. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen the trailer, folks, go check out. There's a very cool part at the end with the Draugr and some
And then there's also the incendiary bomb, which creates a big fireball. So that's always fun to work on with some streamers coming out and like, yeah.
I think I've said it a few times on the podcast, but mm-hmm. we at our Battlefield studios, we like blowing shit up. So I think the Draugr will do a great, great job.
I think the whole season with the map, with the Haven and the Draugr and the rest of the stuff is, you know, there might be, Bruce might talk to
him. Bruce is like, oh, he's ready.
I was waiting to hear from Eddie first.
Yeah, Eddie, can we hear from you about the gameplay side of Draugr?
Hello, Eddie here, the guy who complains a lot. Hi. And about the Draugr, I think it's a very fun vehicle. We'll see how it's going to go once it's in the game. We know we have had some problems with the Jets F-35, C-57 being strong. We have talked about this before in the past. But we wanted to try this out and see how it plays out. It's going to be strimy. You know, the thing with the vehicles is if they're too weak, they're not satisfying to use. And if they're too strong, then you're going to have a balance issue probably. So we wanted to make sure this is strong, satisfying, but also has its weak points. So what we've done is that you have a lot of firepower with this thing. You can do ground support with it. Let's say it's kind of sliding into attack plane category a little bit. But defensive capabilities are a little bit low compared to pretty much everything else. Like it's easier to be taken down. It's easier in dogfights and everything else. Obviously, we'll keep an eye out on how it goes as all things. But I think it's going to be a nice kind of a vehicle with a role that we haven't had since the launch of Banff 2042, which is exciting.
It
does look totally cool. I think we have something that's worth mentioning there is like the technology on the Draugr, you know, and the fact that it can camouflage itself, right?
Yes.
I think the, what we've been trying to go for with 2042 is that balance between things that feel like they're cutting edge and they belong in what you see today and then the things that you see just coming around the corner, right? So I think that is really encapsulated in this vehicle and the way the camouflage works. Rachel, you did a bunch of work on that, right?
Yeah.
And it looks really, really cool. And I think it captures really the kind of technology that we've been going for in Kingston, in 2042.
It was a lot of fun to work on this because one of the key things that separates the Draugr from other air vehicles we have out there now is that it doesn't actually come with traditional flares. Because traditional flares, but Eddie can make like comment on that as well, like it makes it a little bit too powerful. And initially we were thinking like, how can we avoid this being too much of a easy kill? And like we have systems in place to prevent a lock-on, which is sort of electronic warfare. But then as an addition to that, we were thinking about how can we make it easy to lose someone on your tail when you're getting chased down by a plane or a helicopter and you want to get out but not really have anything to fight back with. And there were some plans initially about doing like a smoke screen or some other things to confuse the chasing enemy. But when you're flying around at high speed, a smoke screen is not that effective because you fly through it and it's gone. So we did some testing and concepting with doing an active camouflage system. So in the lore, it sort of takes this like 360 capture of what's around the drone and then projects that on a LED screen that's embedded in the surface. And it only does it for a very short time. So you can't just fly there and be invisible all the time. It's just enough where you can turn partially invisible. It's only like 25 to 30%. So you still see a shimmer if you look closely. But in a busy gunfight, especially in a storm or when you're flying against a busy background, you can turn that thing on, make a sharp corner, and the guy chasing you might just lose you from that.
And it might sneak up on
you. But it's not a guarantee. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can also use it sort of to sneak up on people as well. But it's mostly effective like when you're getting chased down by other enemy craft because you don't really have air-to-air missiles. And the guns that you have, they point forward. So you can't really do anything when they're behind you. So, that's the way to sort of get out of a dogfight.
So do we expect this to be a hit and run approach with this with the Draugr?
You could say that. I don't think it has enough defensive capability for sustaining, gunfights and stuff. It's more like you go in, you deal a ton of damage, and you probably end up dying with it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm sure there are some skilled pilots out there that can stay around, stick around and cause even more damage. But yeah, you could say that, so I think it's not your regular jets.
Yeah, one of the key things as well is that the bombs that the Draugr can drop, they take quite some time to reload. So once you've dropped a load on the target area, you have to circle around and wait until things get replenished. So in that time, you don't really have much to fight back against. So you really gotta hide and fly low below the radar, try to pop the invisibility or the active camo, and then like do some, yeah, basically try to survive until you can drop another bomb. And like, it's very much a hit and run tactic.
Just wanted to throw out that is also has a really cool name, a Scandinavian mythological name for a kind of undead.
Yeah,
Draugr.
Yeah,
so that's what
it's. If you want to read some Icelandic sagas, that's it's a badass. It's
called an undead ghost, right? From Wasp of Galat. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Exactly. Wait,
an undead ghost. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to go.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole.
I was like, it's a rabbit hole. Okay, not on this podcast. That's a separate recording.
Exactly.
Martin and Bruce, we haven't heard from you yet, so maybe Martin, let's start with you. Some of your favorite things could be a continuation of the Draugr, or otherwise, feel free to.
Yeah, sure.
What are your favorite things about the season?
So I'm Martin. I'm a design director on 2042. I wanted to go back a bit to what Joseph was talking about, the contrast between season 6 and season 7. Like when we sit down to create the direction for a season, we want to look for difference, almost, you know, opposites of what we did before and in the past, to go into new areas, themes, emotions, and try to add experiences also where we feel that something is kind of, you know, where there's a gap. So in season 6, we added this infantry grind map, right? Because that was kind of missing. Now we're instead going back to combined arms and offering this suburban space, which the game doesn't really have, and really doubling down on the destruction. But with the contrast again, like if you squint and look at season 6, it's kind of this blue, cold thing, right? Redacted is a very inhospitable, deadly place. Season 7 is that if you squint and look at it, it's a yellowish, warm haven. Is a home for people, one of the new maps. It has lots of signs of recent life. It's lived in. So it's really the opposite, right? In thematic and narrative ways, which I really like. There's some kind of poetic thing to that contrast. Haven, the map, is also about like they're fighting for water there, which is of course really an expression of life itself. And as Manuel was talking about, it's a kind of like a spiritual sequel to Bad Company, what it would be like if we built a Bad Company map today. Lots of destruction again, combined arms. You get this really cool cat and mouse games between vehicles and infantry, infantry running in to try and hide in the buildings and the buildings getting destroyed around you from tanks or destructive other destructive things. So that's really cool.
Can we talk more about the destructive elements of the map? Because what are we looking at?
I can comment one thing. Sorry, it's on destruction, but it's also from what Martin was talking. There is a one common thread through at least Reclaim, Redacted, and Haven is the work the team has done in terms of tying narrative and environmental storytelling. And of course, going back to destruction, when those walls get destroyed by, Bruce will tell us, for example, what, then it can hit you a little bit emotionally. It's a nice touch in the fun of the battlefield experience, of course.
So if you have a moment, maybe create like a portal, sir, and walk around the map. And
just that's a great idea.
Check out all the art and just
there's some really talented members of the community as well that they take they do machinima or take pictures and do really great shots. So I think there's some opportunities there to discover little micro atomic story moments.
I can add a couple of details there quickly if you want.
Yeah, let's go.
Instead of jumping back to this later, but. Just from the art side of things, something that I thought was really exciting and cool was that there was a bunch of posters created for this. And some of them were made by the team, I think, and some by our world's art director, Jorge Bordano. And the cool thing is these posters were made by hand. And Georgia actually did something called jelly prints, where you transfer black and white prints onto this kind of jelly mold and use acrylics to create these posters. And then those posters were scanned into the game. And those posters ended up here on the office. So we have a bunch of those posters on the walls around us here, which is, you know, such a cool connection to the team and to the game.
Joseph, yeah. Sorry, there is something beautiful there, because if the theme of Six was, and there was a lot of AI, it sounds like George was not using AI to make these posters. He went full
it was,
human.
It was the opposite
full analog.
Of AI. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Bruce, I'll leave it to you.
Bruce is our biggest Arica Harbor fan, I think. Haven is like a shade. Everybody's laughing. I think Haven is, you know, we took some inspiration there. So, Bruce, I would love to hear about, you know, your favorite things about Haven. Maybe, you know, your fond memories of Arica Harbor, because I know you can't help yourself and talk about it. And some of the destructive elements of Haven as well.
Thanks, Tom. Hi, Bruce here. I work on Battlefield 2042. Favorite thing about Season 7? For me, it's been the journey. And I think we've touched on a little bit of that already. So coming at the back of Season 6, you know, big Battlefield fan, we did Redacted. We did a meat grind map. Super dark, simp, scary, you know, Halloween, it came out in October. And hearing from Manuel and Martin, Joe P, Joseph, who's here on the call, seeing what they were coming up with, all I heard in my head was Bad Company style. Arica Harbor was mentioned. I ran straight to talk to Inga, who made Arica Harbors, the guy that made Arica Harbor back in the day. I'd never met him, and it was like, hi, I'm Bruce. I've probably played 10,000 hours on that map. I love it. What have we got in the bag? And so Haven, sort of as it started to develop and get built, it was just like, wow, you know, we've got destruction in there. It feels a bit like a spiritual successor to Arica. It's destruction. You know, you can pretty much flatten the map and the gameplay options that that gives you. You know, I wanted to be chased through a building by a tank again. We show it in the trailer. You can do that again. But what I mean by the journey is, so, you know, Season 7, as we've seen, it's very different. It's about life. It's about the fight for water. We've gone destruction. It's got a kind of Bad Company sort of BF3 feel to it. And that's led into, you know, things like the drone. I mean, I remember the day when Rachel and Eddie came along and said, Bruce, we've been trying to do this smoke screen or this flare thing. We've come up with something different. Take a look at this. And they just showed me this big flying Dorito that, you know, does a predator. And
I was going to say,
it goes invisible.
You are a Predator fan, so this was for you.
Yeah, I mean, Predator's probably the greatest piece of media humanity's ever created.
It's a cool documentary, actually.
that was a very easy day for me when they're like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, ship it now. That sort of thing, that, you know, that came up and was really cool. There's some shark-related stuff, some of the cosmetics that Joseph's team have done. You know, I don't want to give too much away on that, but again, I love sharks. There's some cool shark stuff in. I know that sounds a bit weird, but, you know, it was super great. And then, of course, it was then the package that this team managed to create, because it was, okay, well, how can we improve on Six? Right, well, the guns that we've put in. Scorpion's come back, absolute classic.
Andrew.
Put the big clip on it. That thing is brutal. The AK-5C, everybody's been going on about this forever, because I believe the Swedish military use it. It's very popular over here. Seeing that come in, that's been brilliant. The Strife, of course, as well, and the constant arguments, is it an LMG or an AR? I'm still not 100% sure which it is. The drone on top of it, and then things like Jack came in and did all the recoil changes. Mm. You know, Adan's also picked that up with and worked hard on that. The deployment improvements that we've put in, you know, the fact there's two maps. Are we allowed to say that in this one? Yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, they would have seen the trailer. Yeah, there's two maps. So for me, the best thing, I mean, I've got specifics, yes, but the journey, I think, has been incredible, seeing the way that Season 7 came together. As a Battlefield fan, you know, I'm stoked, because it does feel like a spiritual successor to Arica. And that just makes me super happy. So, yeah, for me, it's been the journey and what the team have managed to put together. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
And Bruce, we mentioned the number of the colleagues. This is, of course, there's more people, and we got help as well from some folks from your side of the pond, from Criterion.
We did, yeah.
We should give them a big shout out, because I know on the level, for example, they've done amazing work, just hitting the ground running.
100%, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the level would have come out without them.
Yeah,
is the reality.
They've been a huge help.
They have, Joseph. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, we're proud to have them as part of the family, as part of the Battlefield family. So, yes. You know, it's one big team. There's people all over the world working on it. It's been a hell of a push to bring it over the line, but it's been a really good fun one, I think. Mm.
Jack, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just kind of want to riff off of, now that we brought up the weapons, and I want to riff off this theme of humanity. And I think, similarly to how we worked with the camera in season 5, we wanted to create a sense of, you're just looking at a flat screen, right? But we want to give you a sense of a body that's moving. And so, similar to that work, when we started working on creating more a more interesting firing experience, let's say, with a visual recoil, I think one of the key concepts for me starting that work was how do we give you this sense that there's real flesh and blood behind that weapon that is trying to control this extremely powerful tool? And so I think there's a lot of elements, not just in how things look, but also how they feel and how they behave, that's kind of conveying this humanity that we've been going on about.
I was going to say, Jack, what's been the journey like for all of you, just in general, you know, getting to season 7? How are you guys feeling? It's by the time we record this, it's, you know, two weeks away. Just want to know how all of you are feeling. Excited?
Very.
Yeah.
If you've seen the trailer, I mean, the trailer team, they smash it out the park every time.
Every single time.
this one in particular, you know me, I'm far too transparent. When we showed the final version that Stefan, because I loved that as well about this team, you know, Stefan submitted a version. We're thinking, oh my God, that's amazing. And he comes back a day later. No, I've made some changes. I couldn't sleep with it like that. I've done this and this. Like, okay, let's see it. And yeah, for me, it's the little guitar bit at the end. It's very emotional, but it's a very exciting trailer.
Yeah, I feel like coming to season 7 is also kind of the... a lot has happened within sort of the live service and the team. And coming into year 2 and... getting here, I mean, it's been a ride. I somehow, when I look at where we are, I just feel like I don't know how to say this, but it's sort of changed a lot how we work together to come up with these things. And it's just beautiful to see all this creativity within the studio. And it's going to be really nice to get feedback from the players on the latest iterations.
I was thinking, in a way, it feels like the game has come home a little bit. There is that sense where we, gameplay-wise, and is a long journey, and it's, you know, it's an ongoing journey. But it feels like it's a sense of home. I hope that gameplay, especially experientially, that players will feel, oh yeah, Battlefield. This is Battlefield.
Mm.
We don't have anyone from the weapon design team here today, but obviously there's 3 new weapons. We also made a bunch of balance changes, but Jack, do you want to talk more about weapon recoil and the visual changes we made?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I talked a little bit about it conceptually, but I guess from a gameplay perspective, Adan has done an amazing job introducing these weapons and fitting them into sort of the larger picture of how gunplay should work. And I want to make it clear that there's a difference, right, between what is what we call gameplay recoil and what is visual recoil. but it's important that they kind of work with each other. I think our approach has been to look at how does this weapon function in terms of gameplay? Where do the bullets land? What are the rules we set up for that system? And then how do we sort of interpret that in a physical manner, in an expressive way that communicates the quality of that gameplay through the visuals of the animations. So I think what we're trying to achieve is kind of relationship between, is this a hard-hitting but kind of wild weapon? How do we translate that visually as well so that there's a clearer relationship? And previously in the game, we also sort of blanket treated recoil a little bit in the sense that things would kind of be more dependent on the optic you picked rather than the weapon itself. And now we've sort of looked at, like, what is this weapon? What archetype does it belong to? And regardless of optic you put on, that archetype will carry over into that experience. And then, of course, there's adjustments because of the optic in terms of how it moves visually, because of where it's placed on the screen and so on. But the baseline of what makes up this LMG or this AR or this SMG, because those are the three archetypes we worked on, that carries over through the attachments that you put on. So, yeah, that's going to be great to see come out. I think it may change some of the meta, but the idea is that it should work well with the gameplay. It should be a more fun and immersive experience without, impacting your ability to aim negatively. So
you will just basically you will feel it more the type of gun you're shooting.
Exactly, you'll feel that there's a power and an impulse behind.
Okay, and that, look, it might be difficult to explain over a podcast, but when folks go hands-on, they will, keep an eye out for those visual recoil changes. You'll feel the difference.
Yes.
And let us know your feedback as well. I saw some hands from Manuel and Bruce go up, I think.
Now you go, Bruce.
Yeah. I did forget, of course, to mention the Predator Swarm coming back, which is a rocket launcher for engineers that you can visually control and bend round corners. Battlefield fans will know it from the older games. That came in because of Haven and the destruction in it. And, we wanted to have that classic Bad Company feel. There's a sniper in that room up there. Okay, I'm going to bend a rocket through the window and take the whole room out. So really pleased to see that come back. And I can't wait to see what the community do with it. Because,
blow shit up.
They're good at blowing shit up, but the community always blows shit up really stylishly.
Yes,
they just do things that just the only in Battlefield moments, and the potential with that weapon, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So
sweet. So looking forward to seeing the S-Roll and some nice gameplay moments from our community. Manuel, I think you wanted to. That's some more?
No, I just wanted to make a joke that Bruce managed to sneak in something called Predator.
Yes!
And that means a lot.
Rachel?
Yeah, there's basically, for the Ezra, we also did something that I think is the first that we've done, is that whenever you fire the rocket, you actually see the caps on both sides of the tube pop out and fall away. And then once you're done firing, you can actually look through the entire tube. Like a lot of times previously, it just leaves the tube closed or we just throw away the entire thing. But now we actually hide those elements and pop them out. And on the rocket itself, you see a bunch of thrusters on it to show that it can sort of direct itself.
Who else wants to... Martin and Kasim, we haven't heard from you in a while.
Kasim, do you want to go or should I? One cool thing is that we're tapping into or kind of tying together the timelines of 2042 and 2142, mm-hmm. So I'm sure Joseph could talk more about as well. So we're introducing in the narrative and the cosmetics this 1,000 Petals Coalition, which is like a precursor group to one of the factions in 2142, right? That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that, Joseph?
Yeah, sure. I can talk a little bit about that. So, as you said, they're a precursor. This is our way of paying tribute to 2142. So we've created, our own version of, that ties into our skins, right? And we try to make them feel like they belong in our game, but that you can see the visual connection between our game and 2142. And I think, the team did a really good job at doing that. And you can see some kind of the iconography and things also tying into 2142. But we imagine it as an early stage precursor. Joe, our narrative guy, is amazing. He did a really good job, I think, as well as, creating a narrative that ties these things together. And we try to really have a clear red thread between those things. There'll be some cool visual stuff there to discover, I think. And this also ties back to the posters that I talked about before. Because the posters, they kind of tell this environmental storytelling about the two factions fighting with each other. So you can see that there's resistance fighters that are, spraying graffiti on the walls. And then on the opposite side, there's this Thousand Petals coalitions and logos that you can see on other posters. So they're kind of spreading, propaganda, you could say. And it's really cool. Like look around, you can see that the team has really tried to think about the stories about how these factions are fighting each other. And you can see that the resistance fighters kind of set up blockades. You can see that, the resource that they're fighting for is water in this case. And you can see that story also being told through the environmental, level set dressing that they've done. Which is really cool. And Manuel,
I was thinking that, first of all, there is going to be some podcast episode, I hope, where Joe can jump in and talk about this stuff, because there is I like it that you're teasing it. There is layers there that will keep exploring, I think, and in terms of factions and sub-factions, even within sort of the resistance side and the aggressor side. And another note is a small thing, but I think the team did really good job because, we're talking about water and we are sort of, hypothesizing future unfortunate reasons for conflict. But another one is lithium that is also actually there in the region. So super important rare earth for whatever, batteries, technology, and all sorts of stuff, for Geists, probably. Yeah. So it's really fun and interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. The team actually spent a bunch of time researching, lithium production and how that works, right? And you can see that in some of the environmental work that they've done in the map. Always impressed by the team and how they really jump on these things and get deep into researching stuff. It's really, always inspiring. So there's always stuff popping up as an art director. It's a luxury to be in this position and just get inspired by everybody. And I hope that the players who play this can also see that.
Yeah, I agree. It's great when the whole team sort of latches on to the story of the season. We get all of these synergies when that gets expressed through all the content of the season, right? And it all kind of fits together. That's really exciting to see that take shape. And then to see the players get to experience that, of course.
Tom, shall we mention briefly the stadium? Since it's an unpopular demand, I guess.
We talked a lot about Haven, of course, because we're super excited with this completely new map. But something we heard as well from the community is that when we did the rework on Hourglass, where we, sometimes we add stuff to the map with the reworks, and sometimes we take something away. So in this case, we took the stadium area away because we thought it wasn't a good gameplay flow at the side of the map. However, we learned from most of our community that they really loved this area. So, we wanted to, 7 seasons in, we wanted to do something special for the community and say thank you. And feedback we heard is like, we want more maps. So with season 7, we're bringing back the stadium as well as a new play space alongside Haven, which is a completely new map. So we're pretty excited to bring that back.
And
so,
not within Hourglass, like as its own.
Yeah, map. As its own standalone experience, as its own play space, separate from Hourglass. I think that's going to be very exciting for players to be able to jump back into the area as well. It comes with some improvements, so I don't know who in the team wants to talk a little bit about it. Maybe Bruce?
Yeah, it's had improvements, some adjustments. I particularly like when the lights go out and the extinguishers go off. But I think for me, really, it's the multi-level. It's the kind of the bit in the middle with the three floors. It's when we first started to sit down and play test it, man, it's absolutely brutal, that map. And jumping around between the different floors. I love it with the shotguns. You know, sneaky C5 through the sides as well. But the map as a whole, yeah, it's a smaller area. It's more contained. It's infantry only, yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to throw some pond hawks through there and see what happens.
Maybe an event.
Maybe an event.
Portal.
I mean, pond hawks versus tuk-tuks. With swores.
Pontag superiority in that map.
Let's go.
We should give it a try, Rachel.
I can just run a test, see how it plays.
I think there's a Quidditch opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I
think what's cool about Stadium, and again, coming back to sort of the kind of up close personal, that's really what the map feels like. You're in a smaller area, it's a lot of close quarter stuff going on. There's a lot of sort of pushing a little bit forward, hiding behind the cover, getting to the next spot. Like, you're advancing and you're coming up front with each other all the time, which, again, yeah, I feel like the whole season is very personal in that sense, both in the literal and the sort of conceptual sense.
Yeah, it's good to get another, like, more grindy infantry-focused map alongside Redacted, right? So, but I think players might be surprised by how much it has changed, actually. Like, there's a new path that has been opened up, lots of covers added. I think the lighting is completely redone, right? So it's I always thought it was like a favorite place to play in Hourglass before. So I'm really happy seeing it come back in this way.
Yeah, another team did some additional set dressing with some really cool details in there. So yeah, it'll feel hopefully. A little bit refreshed.
I think we discussed most of the season and what our favorite things are. Before we're about to end it for today, is there any final comments from any of you? You know, shout out to the community or some things maybe we skipped. Any final comments?
Oh, yeah, I have one thing.
Yeah?
So, of course, you know, we've been researching South America and doing all this stuff to make our world and our cosmetics cool and create red threads between all of these things. And one of the other things that we discovered, which was one of my favorite things here, Tom, was a little South American animal called the codcod. And the codcod is like a small cat that's native to Chile and areas around there. And we've taken inspiration from this small cat for some of our weapon cosmetics and character cosmetics and even some of the iconography that you see around the map. And look it up online. It's a very cute and awesome cat. So yeah, that's one of my favorite little details from this.
That's actually a very funny detail. Anyone else?
I might have something cool. Like, once you see the Draugr drop some of the bombs, take a good look at the bombs. They have some cool detail that unfolds, and there might be some details as well if you get really close, but that might be very hard because there's a fireball preceding that very shortly.
get
close to the bomb, it's like, oh shit, there's a fireball. But yeah, there's a bunch of fun details about these projectiles when they fly into their target. Keep a lookout for that.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. So, folks, I think, Bruce, did you want to say something?
It's a quick one, but it's twofold, really, Tom. I mean, the first shout-out is obviously, to the community, to our players. you know, we love bringing you 5 and 6. We hope you enjoy 7. I can't wait to see what they think about it. I can't wait to drive tanks through buildings in Haven and probably get chased by tanks through buildings in Haven. But so, you know, shout out to the community as always, but also the team. I think, you know, as I said, for me, the favorite part is the journey. You know, that journey's not finished yet because it's got to come out. But, you know, this team, as I said earlier, just the composition of the package they've put together and the foundations and the way we're thinking about it, and it feels a bit BC2, BF3. You know, I love that. So it's just really, you know, a thank you to everyone. I won't list all the names because we'd be here all day, but, you know, hell of a job. It's been a lot of fun.
I just want to add on your comment, Bruce, because before you said only in Battlefield, and it's true, and really looking forward to the videos, to the material that content creators, the community members create, because it's only in Battlefield, only if you have the community to create the moments.
100%,
so really looking forward to that.
As a community manager, shout out to all of you as well, and not only to our players, but it's been lovely working with the team, and I think we're all super excited for the next season, which is dropping soon. So everybody listening today, we hope you had fun. It was a little bit of a different podcast than what we do normally when we have a smaller group and we're very focused. But today we wanted to do roundtable style with the team and just talk about our favorite things for the season. So season itself drops on March 19. Hope you're looking forward to it. We'll see you there on the battlefield. In the meantime, of course, there will be more podcast episodes. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so at #InsideBattlefield on social channels or podcast@battlefield.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks to the team for being here today. I had a lot of fun. And then from all of us here at our Battlefield studios, stay classy and PTFO.
PTFO.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.